Precious Father, we are here today in your name, and we're here today because of your Son, that we can be confident that what we ask, you hear. And we do ask that your Spirit, Lord, would just guide the truth, guide us to the truth that we need right now, that you want to show us. And that you would touch, I'm going to pray this in the beginning, touch those, Lord, Pablo's back, my back, Doug that he mentioned, and any others here that are ailing from anything, Lord, we ask you to just do that healing even now as we're gathered together. Amen. And Lord, we know that you are in control of everything. Everyone here knows that, Lord, that you are in control. And we ask that we can, to the best of our ability, put everything in your hands in our life, Lord.
Yes.
And continue to guide us, Lord, to the place that we will do your will, Lord.
Amen.
In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. We are beginning to get what I know is a real major revelation. And it's not that we've got the whole picture, because we don't. Because this has been so, it's like scripture in 1 Timothy says, great is the mystery of godliness. Well, so as great is the mystery of everything. Anything about God is a great mystery. And yet, God has allowed us to have a lot of things revealed to us. It tells us that in the second chapter of 1 Corinthians, that he will reveal things to us by his Spirit. And so the humanity of Christ is major, major, major. And why people can't see it, I don't know. You know, the Bible is full of it. As a matter of fact, there's one word in here that is used repeatedly that should give people a clue as to who and what Christ is. And that word is made. He was made. Let the house of Israel know assuredly that God had made this Jesus who you crucified, both Lord and Christ. He wasn't that forever. At some point, God made him that. And the baptism hinges on the humanity of Christ. And but what we've done and what I've done is, to me, it's just, you know, well, the Bible says it, so do it. You just do it because the Bible says it. And but the Bible, God says, I want men to come to the knowledge of the truth. And so it's not that I've ever said, Lord, why should we be baptized? But one day I knew that this was a vital and valuable thing that we needed to get some understanding on. And I'm coming to the realization that without the understanding that Christ is a man, we can't really appreciate baptism. We are baptized into the death and the burial and the resurrection of a man. Not God. God didn't die. Even though I heard it, I don't know where I was at, but I heard some fellow say that God died on the cross. And it's like, that really doesn't make any sense. You know? Let me, I got a couple of scriptures that I wasn't sure what it says. But, in Hebrews, the first chapter, in verse 4, here's what it says. Now, I want to show you a contradiction, by the way. In verse 4, it says, that being made so much better than the angels. He was made better than the angels. And if we think about it, he's also saying this, that the angels were also made. And they were. But anyway, being made, if he was made better than the angels were made, then that's kind of, that's implying the angels were also made. But anyway, being made. Okay, now, in the second chapter, in verse 7, you made him a little lower than the angels. In the first chapter, it says he would be better than the angels. But here it says he would be a little lower than the angels and crowned him with glory and honor and set over him the works of your hands. And then down in verse 9, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death. That's all it's saying. Because the angels couldn't die. One way or another, they're as they are forever. And so, but the word made a little lower than the angels, or made higher than the angels, the word made, all it does, it tells us that that God made him. And so, if God made him, then he either made him as a spirit or he made him as a person or a man. And from the scriptures, and now it says in the King James, and it says this differently in some of the translations. Over in the second chapter, verse 16, it says that he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. I don't know what does it say in some of the translations?
What verse?
It's in verse 16 of the second chapter. It says this different in most of the translations.
2:16?
Yeah.
Okay, that's 15. For surely it is not angels he helps, but Abram's descendants.
Yeah, and you know what? I'm thinking that the King James is as good as what they have. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
In verse 9, I see, but we do see Jesus, who was made lower than the angels for a little while. Uh-huh. So it was...
But in there it says he was made lower.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So yeah. There, no matter what translation you use... The word made is a common word. You know, God made him. Now, to me, that is significant. He was made higher than the angels. He was made lower than the angels. He was made, you know. And the reason he was made lower than the angels, in that the angels can't die. For the suffering of death, he was made lower than the angels. And neither can God die. No matter how we look at it, we're talking about a man. And you know what? And that is a major, major revelation. And the more I see the scriptures, the more it becomes obvious. And what happens is, most people don't even look for the difference, They're not looking for him as a man. And the reason people aren't looking for Jesus as a man is because they have been indoctrinated and brainwashed for so many years, going all the way back to Constantine and the Council of Nicaea and things that happened in the way down in the past, the Catholic Church, so that they see him as deity. They see Christ as a God image. And you know what? I can't see him that way anymore because the Bible doesn't say that. We don't have anything in the Bible that tells us that. That's the additions and subtractions and stuff that has been put into the, the teachings of the churches.
Mm-hmm.
And so how important is this? well, I'm beginning to realize that seeing him as a man and being baptized into Christ, it says to as many as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. That's what the Bible says. That's in Romans 6. Let's see what that says in some other translations. It stopped at, I think the King James is pretty good.
You want to see what Romans 6 says in other translations?
Yeah.
Well, I was going to make one comment about Hebrews 2:16.
Yeah.
Only the newer translations have that little tweak in there about for a little while. I mean, New Living Translation, NIV says that, English Standard, but the Berean Study Bible, the New King James, don't.
What do they say? What is the New King James?
The New King James says, what do you think, man?
It says, God, for indeed he does not give aid to angels, but he does give aid to the seed of Abraham. Is that the one? No.
But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, might taste death for everyone.
Is that the New King James?
That's the New King James.
Okay.
Which, you know, all I'm saying is that I would say that
verse 9. You're reading verse 9?
Oh, 9.
Okay. Yeah, that's what's confusing everybody.
Yeah. Well, I apologize.
Well, yeah, I was on the wrong thought guy, so.
You said Romans 6 something? What verse in Romans?
I'm not even sure anymore.
Okay.
Sorry.
For if we have been united with him in a death like that his, we will certainly also be united with him in a resurrection like his. For we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with. That we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. Is that the one?
Where are you reading?
Verse 5, Romans 6, 5.
Yeah, it's there. We're more of them. Verse 4.
Yeah.
Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so, we also should walk in in newness of life.
Yeah, the understanding of that Christ was a man changes the whole picture of baptism. It changes the picture. And
well, actually, verse 3 says, or do you not know that as many of us as we're baptized into Christ Jesus, we're baptized into his death, and then it goes. Mm-hmm. Therefore, we were buried with him.
Yeah.
So, you know, down in 7. So, if we get baptized and know we're being baptized into Christ into his death. For he who has died, so that's what we did, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, first of all, we confessed our sins and were born again, and then we receive baptism. For he who has died has been freed from sin. Mm-hmm. Guess what?
Baptism.
I can't believe that yet.
Mm-hmm. Well, it shows me that baptism is very important.
Yeah, but it's like, see, I know there's something that is in all this that, by what Paul says in Romans 6 and stuff, that, and John, you know, in 1 John, where he talks about, you know, don't, if you say you don't sin, you lie, you know, but you've been set free from them, but, you know. So there's something where if you really believe you have died to yourself, now, see, that's part of it is probably if you don't walk as if you've died to self and are a new creature, this doesn't have its full meaning yet. But there should be a point where we just, sin should not be enslaving us because that's the old man and it's dead. You know? But it's so hard to not get that mixed up.
So we're not to take that back on.
Yeah.
if you recognize sin, then you go, I'm not walking the way the scriptures say that I should be
right.
If I've done this.
Yeah.
So
I know it's so we don't know, I mean, of course in God's eyes, because he sees everything and knows everything, and this all is probably done and you are free. You know, but yeah, it's a tough one.
It's a tough one, but the thing about it that makes a difference is faith. You know, and faith is not easy to come by. It's it comes by hearing God's word, and it's but faith can develop supernaturally by God's power in us somehow. And that's why, after all of Paul's resume of all of the bad things in his life in Romans 7, in Romans 8 he says, there is therefore now no condemnation. Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
I quoted a scripture to Shelley on the phone the other day. It's in, I think it's in the 1 John 3rd chapter, and where John said, if the heart condemns you, God is greater than the heart. Well, you know what that has to be a faith issue. You have to be able to come to a place in faith that, just like Romans 8:1, you know what I mean? There's therefore now no condemnation to them. I mean, what do you mean there's no condemnation? I've lived in condemnation for so many years in so many areas.
Yeah.
But you know, there was a day when I was really delivered to Romans 8:1. A faith came. And I realized, you know what? I'm not happy with being in condemnation. I'm not happy with being in sin. Neither are you. And we fall and we falter and we fail, but you know what? God is greater than our failures. He's greater than the things that we go through. And the devil is a master in bringing us under condemnation.
Mm-hmm.
And by faith, we can get away from the devil. But you know what? Understanding also is important. It is. It's also, you know, knowledge of the truth is important so that we don't walk around under condemnation. If the devil can get us condemned, even after God forgives us, and that's what he wants to do. He wants to get us condemned. And the devil is a master.
I was just sitting here, and the thoughts were coming that, it's been like 2,000 years that the gospel has, like, been attacked and diluted and changed and, you know, although there's been probably where it held. So I was thinking, so, God knows this, of course, so maybe I was thinking, I think most of us would say, well, I was born again, I was baptized, I was walking with the Lord, I was sold out, and then all of a sudden, to me, it looks like I need to do that again. Because, you know, and I'm wondering if that's the...
Became polluted.
Yeah, well, I'm wondering if that's the biggest thing that God wants to do, because it's the end time, is convert everyone again. You know, like you said, when you are converted, see, and when we talked about that probably a year ago or whatever, I went, you know, I don't think I have been converted. You know, totally.
Here's a scripture. For sin shall no longer be your master, because you are not under the law, but under grace.
So, I mean, in a sense, I don't want to say that for us there's a greater work of grace and mercy than for when Jesus first walked, you know, for the disciples. But the whole world has been evolving for 2,000 years in Satan's control to a certain degree. Of course, now they were under the law for how many thousands of years that they had to come out of. But, you know, it's just like, it says in the last days there will be more ungodliness, you know. And so, God knowing that, I'm hoping He's sure given us way more grace and mercy, you know, which I believe He is, because, you know, I really do believe that. But, you know, it's kind of an odd thing that we, I mean, I'm sure there's some people that once they got saved, they've been walking, you know, forward ever since. But I know I haven't.
I haven't met many of those.
I haven't either, but there's probably some out there. So it's, you know, so it's like,
yeah.
Well, that's a condition that God has allowed. And I think, which will show how mighty and righteous He is if He brings us out of that. You know?
Yeah.
That's going to be a mighty work.
I want to read Hebrews 6:13. For God made a promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no one greater, he swore by himself. That's how great it is.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no one can swear greater than God.
Right.
To an old
swore, yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the ultimate authority right there. Yeah. So anyway, it was just some thoughts that came there. I hadn't been thinking about them earlier.
Well, you know, condemnation is basically the condition where you give up hope.
Yeah.
And that's what the devil really tries to do. And you, in the scriptures, the way they're written, it's easy to see how you fall short. And once you acknowledge you fall short, and it's easy then for the devil to come in and condemn you for falling short, and then you're on the cycle where, you know why, you know, how can I possibly, as Ken just mentioned, God's grace.
Yeah.
Don't limit God's grace.
Right.
The other thing that kind of struck me as you were talking to was how, you know, when you first were baptized, and quote unquote, the new Christian is on fire, and the Spirit is on working, and when that happens, you're much more able to just discard the world and focus on God.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that feeling or that presence abates a little bit, and then, you know, as the old Christian would tell the new Christian who's on fire, in time, you'll get back to normal, you'll be just like one of us. And really what that is saying that, you know, when the Spirit lifts and you start dealing with the world again,
yeah,
you kind of sink back down into this, and you have to work really hard to get back up and say, you know, I have things of the world that I have to deal with and overcome, that you're not going to change me going from having hope to being condemned. And I mean, the enemy, because it's funny, I was reading 1 John 22, go back for, oh yeah, if you thought this, you're good, and I'm going, but I'm not walking that way, you know? It's like a matter of fact that I go like, well, but this doesn't line up at all with my walk or my witness, and I'm going like, and he's talking about past tense. And then Keith, you start off by saying, you know, showing us how God is better, that Jesus is better than the angels, and then two more references right down the road, but he's lower than the angels. And I thought, well, you know, that's kind of interesting. Because
it's not, though.
But it's important because he's saying better can be lower. And that is not in our natural thinking anymore.
No, no.
You know. And then you go, well, we can be sons of God. The angels can't. We can be sons of God.
Great.
And so you go.
Yeah, good point.
And then you go, oh, it is better.
Yeah.
Even though it's lower, it is better because they have eternal life. We don't have eternal life. Da da da. They don't have free will. It's my understanding, angels. But, you know, it's just interesting that we lower and better. And I go, you're not going to see that anywhere else in anything that happens out here. That's kind of a spiritual thing.
You know, I just get, well, all this, I just get the Spirit interject something. So here's hope, and here's faith. After all of that that I said, we're still sitting here desiring truth. So that is what I needed to hear. After all I said, the Spirit just kind of went, yeah, and here you are. 20, 30, 40 years later, and you have not given up yet. You know? Because you have not, you still profess that the Lord God's your God and He's your Father, and you believe His Son was sent for you. You know?
And therefore, God has not given up on you.
Right.
And that's why you have no hope.
Yeah.
And, the Bible says that David was a man after God's own heart. And yet David was a scoundrel at times. And yet we have a lot of the Psalms and so forth that were inspired by David. But I might quote a scripture. I'm not sure exactly where it is. In James, maybe. But it says, God is not willing that any should perish, but that all men should come to repentance. You know how we have begun to see the value of repentance? Repentance is a doorway for God to get us, keep us back, keep us with Him. And David repented. David was famous for repentance. As a matter of fact, some of the Psalms, you really see the repentance of David in the Psalm.
A lot.
And I tell you what, we're talking about this right now in this area of Revelation. It's God is not necessarily going by our moment by moment experience or ups and downs that we go through. We're human. But he's going by a life and a repentance attitude. You know what I mean? That's what I see in the scriptures. And so, what is God looking for? Perfection. Of course. We are to be perfect like He is. But we're human. So what He's looking for is repentance. And the repentance does so much more to get us on the proper level before Him. See?
Yes, yes.
The repentance, and that's what God looks for. That's why we see all these scriptures where, you know, Jesus says, well, and they ask Him, well, how many times should I forgive my brother? And seven times? And what does Jesus say? 70 times seven? In a day?
Daily. Yeah, that's the part that really hooked me. Probably got 490 down, but not daily.
But, so anyway, but if God will look at us having this forgiveness, what about himself? You know, he's not willing that any should perish, but all men should come to repentance.
Were you trying to find a scripture that said that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life?
Well, that's one.
That's John 3:16.
Yeah, well, yeah.
And I read that one. Oh, yeah. But the point is that we only talk about the first half of that scripture. You know, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son.
Yeah.
That whoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life.
Right.
That's kind of like, that kind of caught me up on one. Because, everybody quotes 3:16. But this is the back half of that.
You know what? God, I know he just already honored that prayer in the beginning. At least for me. Because I noticed today I was led to say, guide us in the truth for right in this meeting. And that's what came through for me. I just got some truth that's helping lift me up, you know.
Yeah.
So God honored it right away.
Yeah.
And last Lord, we believe you'll honor all the rest of that prayer too.
Amen.
And he that endures to the end,
yes,
the same shall be saved. Well, you know what? Yeah, I've been pastoring for a long time. I think I'm going to retire. I'm just teasing you. But anyway, what do you mean retire?
Yeah.
Retire from what?
Well, yeah, I don't want to take away from the fact that, because that's involving pastorship, but like in Titus or wherever, and it says, you know, go and elect elders in every city. When do you quit being an elder?
Yeah.
You know, right? When do you quit being a Christian? You don't.
Yeah, you don't.
You never stop.
You don't retire.
Yeah, you never stop thinking the Lord.
Well, some might, but some might. But
I can't even envision that.
No.
It doesn't enter my head. You know?
You'd have to turn your back on
everything.
Yeah.
No.
No.
Yeah.
If something happened, I'm brain dead or something, that's different. But
well, if you're brain dead, God might not have been anyways.
You never know.
I know. Nobody knows.
You have to be careful because you might think you're brain dead.
Yeah.
And those of us around here might think you're brain dead, but to God, you might be a wide open gate.
Yeah.
I mean, who knows?
Well,
that's the problem. We tend to keep bringing it back into natural references. And I hold out hope to say that, you know, he judges me in a way that I don't understand. And that's why scriptures say, even Jesus says, I'm not judging.
That's why I wonder how good a place Chuck's in.
I think Chuck's in a
Charles.
Place.
Yeah.
Charles.
Better than we know.
You.
Mm-hmm.
Better than
you're
we know.
You're in a good place. You're in a good place.
I'm a minister under Keith Gunn.
There you go. There you go.
That's a pretty good place.
Yeah.
Lots of luck.
You know, if it looks bad in the world, it's probably right where you want to be.
Well, look at how many probably got saved and changed through the death of Joanne.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well,
so
I'm going to change this here. Because I tell you what I think, or what it's worth. Because God is updating. He's always updating truth, you know, or revelation. And I think that the church is going to come into a revelation and understanding of baptism that we have not had. Not just us, but the church. And you can't be baptized in Jesus' name and not have Jesus a man. It's impossible. I mean, they're doing it, but I mean, it's impossible.
I would maybe just twist that, change this like, you can't be baptized in Jesus' name without Jesus, without recognizing Jesus as a man and have that baptism be a full effect.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah,
then you're better way close if you're baptizing in the Father, the Son, and the Spirit.
Oh, yeah, oh, right.
You know.
That's a... It's a false doctrine embedded in that, you know, the way they believe, that they teach Matthew 28:19.
I just had a thought occur to me where if you baptism and you do it out of rote, it's dead.
Then you know what? You're right.
I mean, new Christian, baptized. Well, why are you doing it? Because you're a new Christian. Well, how is that taking on Christ? How is that? I mean, well, that's just what we do.
Yeah.
And I go, well, that sounds like a tradition of the church. It doesn't, or a tradition of a doctor. Doesn't sound like Scripture. And so it becomes, the more you know, the weaker that becomes.
Yeah, they just stepped up from infant baptism and made it the same thing as an adult.
Well,
and
the
whole immersion became...
When they have to hurry and baptize him because he's dying.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, the big deal in the charismatics is if we poo-pooed sprinkling and full immersion. And it wasn't what was happening, but the fact that you did full immersion, that was what was significant. You go, well, no, not really. No, not really.
A little more here.
It certainly helps with the argument about making an outward gesture and doing that. I don't mean to belittle that, but that's... I think we're coming into a place where that is not why you want to be baptized.
Yeah. Something is going to happen. And I think we're feeling it, but and I am too, and I still don't have the revelation I need, but I know it's important. I know it is vital that we're baptized into the man, Christ Jesus. That's who he is.
Mm-hmm.
We die and rise from death with him.
And it says, and not only, I mean, it says this, it says, as to as many as are baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know where it says that, but somewhere.
What was that again?
Have put on Christ.
Galatians 3:27, which is
yeah.
That's why we have a hard time remembering where that is.
Yeah.
Galatians 3:27.
Of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ.
And they show in the footnotes here, which it doesn't really mean anything special, but it says they show Romans 6:3, you know, as a footnote. I mean, I know what Romans 6:3 says, but
Romans 6:3 says, know ye not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death.
Yeah, so they're using that, and you know what? They fit together. They have to fit together. But I never, in all of the baptisms or anything I've ever seen, I have never looked at it as being baptized into Christ. Baptized in his name, But it's like it's kind of a nebulous, I don't know if that's the right word, but it's kind of a insignificant, it's just something you do, you know what I mean? We're baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Yeah, so?
Well, and into his death, I think that's been put out there, acknowledged.
But if he's a God, he can't die.
Well, no, but the fact that you're into his death, that's taking on some of what it means to be into Christ. You know?
Yeah.
Because that's a part of it. But you don't have the full... you don't have the full thing of it all. We don't even know for sure what that means into Christ yet.
But I think we're going to. I think we're gonna start understanding it, and we won't just be thinking that. Well, maybe we do. We're gonna know that we do.
Yeah.
No, I'm not saying that I understand it, but I'm saying I'm getting better and better, or closer and closer. And if that's the right word for it.
Sure.
I've noticed something in prayer, and any time between 4 and 5 in the morning, I wake up, and I'm wide awake. So that's the time to pray. And I notice something that happens repeatedly, and I'm praying, and I'm feeling good praying. You know what I mean? And but a weird, strange thing is happening. I'm starting at 4, and I'm praying, and I look to see what time it is. It's 4:45. What just happened? Where did 45 minutes go? You know where it's been for me over the years? I've checked out the clock, it's been 5 minutes.
It's been sitting. If you're going between 45 minutes between time checks while you're praying, you're in a different place than me.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? I don't necessarily check, but when I did, it was 45 minutes later, and I thought, where'd the 45 minutes go? Because God is doing something, see? He wakens up something in us. But, and it's not because anybody's better than anybody else. It's just that God's doing something. And I'm thankful. Some of us are having a hard time staying awake. No, I'm not going to say who.
He must have been up at 4.
I have no way of knowing.
That's okay, Chuck.
I hear the bathroom door open up and close so many times during the night. I don't know. I quit worrying about it. But the nice thing about it is I lay down and take a nap and so does Chuck.
There you go.
If we're kind of at a standstill there a little bit, I had a little bit of a thing happen with me. I had somebody that I was doing the driveway. Of course, they're not in their house right now because they're injured. And so the son said, yeah, just keep it up, I'll send the check or whatever. So the first one, boom. Then I did 3 more times and nothing. You know? And I sent some texts and stuff. And I found myself every once in a while at night, I'd just be mulling this over, like, well, how can you not at least talk to me? And then I couldn't go to sleep, you know. And then so finally this week, I just finally went. Because I know what it says in the Word. Don't expect to get, you know, if you do something. Just so I said, okay, that's it, Lord. I don't care. It's gone. Done. I ain't going to get it. I'm done thinking about it. So then Friday, I go to the mailbox and check. And he actually put one on for the one that I hadn't done yet. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. Because I've been driving by to, just in case. I thought he might stop at the house. And there was nothing, no tracks. But then when I went by Friday or later in the day, there was tracks. And I thought, well, he must have been there sooner than that. Because he gave me the extra that it hadn't been done. So then I went and did it Saturday. Mm-hmm. So anyway, it just showed that when you just, you know, and I'm getting all worked up about it. And like the money to some people was not enough amount that why are you worried? But to some of us, you know, are a little more limited, it means something. So anyway, so it was the whole thing where I just went, I was thinking of the scriptures that said don't. And then, you know.
That's been a big lesson that I've been learning is just give it to the Lord and
don't
take it back.
Right.
That's the hard part.
Yeah. All of a sudden you got out of bed and you thought, I thought I gave that to the Lord. Do it again.
Yeah, so simple. Just dumb little things like that, though, that can do a little work. I needed that done in me because I was fretting and worrying and it was bothering me, you know.
Our flesh.
Well, I have a testimony of sorts, too. As you all know that I've been working on this little project and I've been making jokes because the Lord has me on this patience tour. it's like, you know, there's a plan and, you know, it all requires is patience. It's the scenic route of patience. Anyway, so I'm working with a large company that has a reputation of being very slow. In fact, they don't do anything, really anything new besides what they're doing. So we have this product that they've seen and they like it and they've showed people. And for 2 years, this has been ongoing. And we're every so often there's another little step that takes place. And I know roughly that there's about 15 things that have to happen here, and I see one, and then the second one, and the third one, and this has been going on. And this week I saw 14th step, which is they sent me an actual official purchase order to buy something from me, and put a date on when that check will be written, and da-da-da, and so now it's like all we have to do is build it, which we're doing anyways, and then they test it, and if it works, then hopefully they'll send me more of those people. But we've been working on this since June or July of 17, and it looks like maybe June or July of 20. There might actually be some money in it.
Yeah.
So it's like, however, this has the potential of being a very big thing, and you know, it could go from nothing to a lot of blessing fairly quick because this is a billion-dollar corporation, so they can decide that they need lots and lots and lots of these little widgets. And so you just never know, but I give glory to God, and God is good, and it's, as I said, it's probably been, for my benefit, this has probably taken so long. If I was probably in a better place, maybe things would have moved along a little quicker. But you know, he's been faithful to show progress. And so I've never been justified to be upset. And every time I get upset, I could call myself up short going, why do you think you should feel this way? And, you know, that's humbling. And you go, well, I really have no right to feel that way. Get back on your knees. And you go,
I got to repent.
You know, got to repent. And,
that's probably as big a change in somebody from what you were to what happened in the last 3 to 5 years of anybody I've seen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
God is good.
Yeah.
Because a schedule and timeline. I know how to work with this. and then, in a way, it parallels our walk because this is out of my control. You know, I can pray about something or I can call a guy and kind of encourage some action. But I mean, you know, you can pray and ask God to reveal something, but He's going to reveal it when He wants to. So you almost get to the point where, you know, how do you want to approach this? You want to have that revelation like Job says, you know, I think I'm just going to sit here now and wait. Because once you kind of get the full picture, you go, who am I to question?
In His time.
Yeah, and it becomes in His time. But I do want to praise God and the glory of God because He has been faithful to keep me through this, you know. Because I don't live in the same place, haven't had to sell my house, you know.
Yeah.
You know, all those things.
Yeah.
Very fortunate. Well, next Sunday we'll have probably Papa and Charlie here.
Charlie will be
in Charlie. Charlie's traveling that day. I don't think he'll be back. I don't think he'll be back to Papa's service on Sunday.
Oh.
He'll get back until about 11 o'clock at night on Sunday, next Sunday.
Oh.
That 23rd, I think.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Well, Monday.
Well, yeah, we should try that.
Yeah. We'll have a full group.
Love you all.
Yeah.